Bibles if you have them. And let's give God glory for His Word. And just for you parents, next Sunday we are going to be blessing the kids as they begin school. So just keep that in mind if you want to bring your children and maybe steal a few children too from the neighborhood. We'll pray over them and bless them in Jesus' name. So right now, let's give God glory for His Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank You that all Scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in Your righteousness. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's awesome to be back with you guys. It's been just such a blessing to see what God is doing here with everybody. And I just want to encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. I know we put stuff out on PowerPoint, but I want to encourage you to bring your Bibles because it's cool sometimes to take notes. I mean, if you look at my Bible at home, I've got notes all over it, and every now and then I'll go back and read something I read before, and I'll see the note, and it'll trigger a thought or something God showed me. So I would encourage you to bring your Bibles, you know, if for nothing else, just to jot down notes or underline things and just points of remembrance that would help you in the future. And it is the Word of God. So we started part one of this message on in Him, and what does that mean to be in Him? And we are in the series of equipping. Why be equipped? What is the purpose of us equipping? And, you know, one of the things is, it's great to come to church. It's great to receive from what God is doing. But if you are not, but there's a second half of it. And that is, there's a reason why you're being trained to receive and in the things of God. It's to do something with them. No soldier gets trained in an army just to sit and play video games. You get trained for the purpose of battle, to be in a state of ready to do battle. And in our case, the battle is real because the enemy attacks at every end. And one of the things I hope and pray that you've been gaining is you're learning the schemes of the enemy, where he can come in a thought, and through this series and through other messages and through time in our home groups, sharpening one another, that you've been able to recognize what the enemy's doing and how he attacks you personally. Because every one of us is going to be attacked where there's a little kink in our armor. And my kink is different than your kink. But it's good to recognize how he attacks so we know how to combat it. And how we combat it is in the way we are equipped. And this is why, to me, this is such a pivotal thing that we understand. And last week, we started, or 2 weeks ago, we started talking about how it's really, the burden is not on us. Sometimes the weight of the things that we think we have to do is on us, but it's not. See, it's on Him. It's Him, and we began to see how it's Him that pours out. It's His blessings. It's His fruit. It's His gifts of the Spirit. It's His anointings. It's His words. It's His Spirit living in us. He's doing all the work. All we have to do is be willing to receive it and say yes to Him, to be obedient in doing it. So the burden is on Him to do this. And if you haven't realized, it's not a burden for Him. He loves to do this. He wants this. Because when we are reliant on Him for these things, I mean, we can even talk about how much better our lives are, period. But the fact is, the burden's off of us. And it's not about me anymore. It's about You, Jesus. It's not what I want to do on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock in the morning in a service. It's about, God, what do You want to do? Father, what do You want to have accomplished today? It's not about me coming in with a perfect 3-point sermon. How many times I've walked in here or had what I thought was an awesome message and the Lord said, we're doing this instead. It's about what he wants to do. Not about me, not about you. All I have to say is, okay, Lord, I'm lining myself up with you. My heart belongs to you. I'll do it your way. Because doing it my way is going to end me back up at his way, but the long way. Okay? And that's a reality. But again, the beautiful thing is, it's what he wants to do. He's a giver and he wants to give. And he never wants to stop giving. The only times he is stopped is when he's forced to stop if we choose not to receive. That's the only time. So if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, this is where we're going to kind of pick up. Beginning verse 7. And on the PowerPoint, I highlighted. This is not the Bible who highlighted. I did because just wanted you to actually see some things. And I guess the highlights didn't come out very well. But I want you to see something. See how many times we read about him doing it. Watch this. It begins. In him we have redemption. That's one. Through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of what? His grace. That's two. Which he made. That's three. To abound toward us in all wisdom. Whose wisdom? His wisdom. That's four. And prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. That's five. According to his good pleasure. That's six. Which he purposed in himself. That's seven. That in the dissipation of the fullness of the times, he might gather. That's eight. Together in one all of the things in Christ, both that are in heaven and earth and which are on earth. In him, that's 9. Then it begins, in him, 10. We also have obtained an inheritance being predestined according to the purpose of him. That's 12. Who works all things according to the counsel of his will. 13. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. 14. In him, 15. You also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, meaning in him also, that's 16, having believed you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Who sent the Holy Spirit? He did. So that's inferred. That's 17. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchase and possession to the praise of his glory. How many times do you see how he set it up for us to do this? All we have to do is do it. He set it up. He empowered us. He's blessed us with. He's given us. He's established the blueprint of everything. Because in him, we see so many things going on. And I'm just going to go through them real quick right now. There's about 8 of them, and I want you to see something here. This is what I have available to me that I need to realize I walk in every day. I have available to me to use for the glory of his kingdom in my life every day. That I've been given to overcome everything I struggle through every day. Watch this. In him, first, is redemption. Verse 7. We have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his glory, which he made abound towards us through all wisdom. This is the foundation, and let's get this straight right now. If Jesus is in your heart as your Savior, your sins are forgiven, everything you've done in the past has been washed away. Anytime those thoughts of, I'm not good enough, the things I've done, I don't deserve this, that's not from God. That's completely from the devil trying to pull you away from what God wants to do in your life. That's a lie. That's deception from Satan himself, okay? Because if you have accepted Jesus in your heart, you're sealed, you're done, okay? God has forgiven you of your sins. Nothing in the past can touch you or haunt you. It's a lie from hell that I am full of such shame. Because on the cross, Jesus carried our sin and shame. That's what his word says. He took our guilt upon him. So you've already given it up. You've already released it to him. And he's taken it from you. He's not an Indian giver. He will not give you back your guilt or shame. So you've been set free from that. And I'm going to stop here for a second. Just close your eyes for a second. If you are struggling with that right now, I'm going to do two things. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior and would like to accept him today for the first time, to know that those things are washed away in his love and his blood, would you just raise your hand? Okay. Well, we're going to give God glory that everyone here knows Jesus as their Savior. But if you don't, and you are fearful right now, that's okay. You can see me after church. Or see anyone from our ministry team, my wife or Maureen. We'll be here to pray with you. But Jesus wants to set you free today. Set you free from those things. Now, if you have accepted him and you're battling those thoughts, we're going to release them right now to Jesus. So in the name of Jesus, we cast out those thoughts. We rebuke the enemy who puts those thoughts in our minds. And I release an understanding right now in the name of Jesus, a blessing on you that you are loved, that you are forgiven, that you have been set free from sin and guilt and shame, blame and self-blame, that you're no longer a prisoner of hell, but you are not only a citizen of heaven, you have a high place in the kingdom of heaven as a son and a daughter of the living King. So we release that onto you right now with that understanding and that knowledge. And I bless you with it in Jesus' name. If you need prayer over that, again, our ministry team or your prayer groups at the end of service, we can pray with you on those things. So thank you, Lord. Just give you glory. So we have redemption. Number two, in him, the mystery in verse 9 of his will or his heart is revealed. He is having shown us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. He reveals his mystery. In other words, he's revealing the secrets of his heart. You know when a person reveals the secrets of their hearts to another? Is when that person has willingly chosen to be intimate with them. When I first met my wife, we talked about a lot of things. But on the first date, we weren't ready to reveal the secrets of our hearts. The mystery of our hearts. But as we grew together in intimacy, she began to reveal the mysteries of her heart. The things that are so delicate and precious to her. And I began to do the same. And every day as our relationship becomes more stronger and intimate, the depth of the revealed mysteries continues to grow. And that's the way it is with God. He has revealed them. It's up to us to search them out. He's made it available. And as we become more intimate with him and learn how to pierce into his heart, it's revealed to us. But it's an active search that we do. I have to create an environment where my wife feels safe with the revelation of the mysteries of her heart. Same thing, I have to create an environment where Jesus is able to reveal the mysteries of his heart. Not because he doesn't want to, but because I may not be ready to receive them. I'm not positioned in that place. So I've got to get myself to that place where I'm searching him. I want to know them. I want to know what speaks to him. And the more intimate I am with him, the more I can know them. And you do that by spending time with him, by spending time with people who are active pursuers of his heart. Learning, because it's not something you just get like that. Very rare does somebody just learn to do that. But as you grow and as you work and come in fellowship and community with other believers, you learn to pursue him together and go deeper, and his revelations come through. Third thing, the greater purpose is made known. Again, in verse 9, for what? In him, the greater purpose is known for his good pleasure. See, he enjoys it. He loves to reveal the mysteries of his heart to you, because in those mysteries are the next step. It's revealed so that there could be something done with it. If my wife today reveals to me that she loves something, then I'm going to begin to pursue how I can love it. Now, she revealed to me she hates flowers and loves Tabasco. So, you know what? If I get her flowers, I'm in trouble. So, in lieu of flowers, she gets Tabasco. Do something with it. Do something with it. And he loves to reveal that because he loves to see it come together in our lives, working together as a family. In him, there's unity. Verse 10. I love this because in verse 10, we see that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth. You know what's so beautiful about this? There's so many layers to this, that in him, we know the body's united, right? We had communion today that unites us. We fellowship in his spirit. We are one with Christ, and when we come together as a body, we seek to be in one accord together. But there's also another unity that takes place here. I don't know if you caught it, but both which are in heaven and on earth. What does that mean? That means in him, heaven and earth collide. It's when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, it's here. It's revealed right here today. That the heart of heaven can be manifest on earth. That what God has established in heaven can be revealed on earth. So heaven and earth collide in him. So in him, there's complete unity. There is nothing missing to the circle, to the picture. It's complete. When we pursue him, when we learn to seek him and recognize he's doing this, I just got to get in that position to receive and do. Not just receive and feel good, but receive and do. Third thing is we obtain our inheritance. In verse 11, we see in him we have also obtained an inheritance. And as I prayed and thought about this, I thought about a couple of things. There's two kinds of inheritance we receive. There's the earthly inheritance, and then there's the heavenly inheritance. Earthly inheritance it's when heaven and earth collide, when the things of heaven began to show up here on earth in our lives. We have the fruit of the Spirit he's given us. We have the gifts of the Spirit that he's given us. We see Galatians 5, 22 and 25, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. See, we forget that last statement sometimes. Against them, there's nothing that can be said. If we are moving in those things in their perfection, they're not coming from the flesh. There is no way on this planet I can have those things in me out of the flesh. There's no way. Because there's a lot of people I don't feel like being good about and towards. A lot of people my flesh does not want to like, let alone love. Okay, or even be kind to. And I think if you didn't raise your hand, if I asked, who is kind to every single person on the road while they're driving, you'd be a liar. Because every one of us has not been kind on the road. Okay? But in him, we can go, we bless you, instead of you stupid human being. And other things, obviously. But we'll leave that one alone. Against such things, there is no law. And listen to this. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh in him, in Christ, and its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. So when we are in him, those other things that are not of the fruit of the Spirit have been crucified. In other words, I am capable to walk in the Spirit only when I am in him. I'm not able to walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, when I am not in him. It is him in me. We talk a lot about how, you know, God doesn't heal character. Our character is our character. And we have to work at morphing and forming our character into the image of Christ. How do we begin? By being in him. Because it begins by allowing him to turn what used to be hate into love, what used to be frustration and intolerance and impatience to patience, a restless spirit into peace. That begins the development of our character. That's how we begin to submit our will so that God can teach us how to work on our character and begin to apply these things to our character so our character can be better. And we begin to grow in the character and image of Christ even more. So it's all in him. And then the gifts of the Spirit, you know, I just rehash these real quick. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. For to one is given the word of wisdom through a spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same spirit, to another faith by the same spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as he wills. So everything comes from him. He's given us these things. And we'll get into, in the next couple of weeks, some of the specific gifts, but the miracles, the healings, the words of knowledge, words of wisdom, the increased supernatural faith to go beyond what you naturally think and know. These things are all come from him. And that's what encourages us to step out in faith. I've shared this before. My biggest insecurity about speaking things of prophetic nature and calling things out, whether it's healing for somebody or just a word of encouragement, was I don't want to make God look like a fool. What if I was wrong? Well, as I've grown in my faith, I am still learning. I'm learning that it's him. My job is just to do it. And if I'm wrong, okay, I repent, I go to God, I make sure though what I do lines up with his word and with his heart. But it's okay. It's not the end of the world. It's on him. If he's given me something, if I believe within my heart that God has given me something, I need to step out in faith because he will honor my obedience even in my imperfection at times. He will honor that. And I know it's in him, not in me. And then, obviously, there's our eternal inheritance, our salvation, our hope, our dancing in heaven, our praising the Lord that we have. So in him, we have both an earthly inheritance and an eternal inheritance. Number 6, our purpose is unfolded and revealed in verse 11. The purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So we see that his purpose is revealed. And how? Look at Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God, in other words, in reverence, in awe of God. What does that say? Well, just to pull out a few quick things here. To walk circumspectly means walk, in Greek, means walk cautiously. Walk sensitively, as if you are walking through thorny ground. This life is a thorny ground, right? We've got a lot of sharp turns and a lot of sharp edges. So walk with purpose. Walk carefully in this life. The other thing is redeeming the time. When he says redeeming the time because they are evil, what that literally means is capitalizing on every moment. Make every moment valuable. Don't take lightly every moment. So as you walk sensitively, who are you being sensitive to? The Spirit and to what's going on around you. You're making sure every moment, every step has a depth and level of meaning and purpose that brings glory to God and His work in your life. It changes our whole attitude about how we spend our time. So, and what our purpose is, because now, you know, sometimes we think, what is my purpose? And we're thinking 10 years down the road. But when I am walking circumspectly, when I am walking, redeeming the time, making the most out of every moment, I'm realized I don't just have a purpose in 10 years. I have a purpose today. There's something God has for me today. And there are things I need to be careful of avoiding doing today. But I know these things when I'm in Him. I'm able to recognize the difference when I am in Him. I'm able to see bad from good, where I should be and where I shouldn't be, where I should walk and where I shouldn't walk, because I'm in Him. And I'm making every moment precious. And I'm being filled. And this whole thing about being filled in the Spirit, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a continuous filling in the Greek. It's not just go ahead and, drink a jar of the Holy Spirit and get drunk in the Holy Spirit and be done. It's a continuous filling. It does not stop. Continue to pursue the Spirit of God, that you are always filled to overflow in the Spirit. Psalms, and then as you're doing that, man, let's be honest for a second. When you're drunk in the world, what happens at a bar? People start singing stupid songs, out of key, not caring if they're out of key or out of tune, making up lyrics, slurring the words. They don't care. But when we're drunk in the Spirit, when we are filled in the Spirit, how about having that same attitude? Not caring what anyone else thinks. I'm going to be obedient to what God is doing. Even if my voice, sounds like a blowhorn or a bullhorn or whatever you want to call it, a cowbell, I'm going to sing out to the Lord if that's what I'm supposed to do right now. I'm going to dance before the Lord even if I have two left feet. I'm going to shout His praise even if I sound like a dead, dying horse or something. I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do in that moment, because I really don't care about anything else. And that's the beautiful thing about it. And that's something we all have to learn. And the only way to get comfortable with something like this, and I have to be honest, is to be in that environment where it's okay. All right? Because if you've never experienced something like that, it comes as a shock the first time. When people begin to laugh, when people begin to shout praise, when you hear different things. But it's getting together with the body and experiencing the things of the Holy Spirit. And as we line ourselves up with those things, as we say, okay, Lord, If I am in you and you are in me and these are happening, then it must be from you. That it's okay. It's okay. But it's all about community and growing together, because you will not be comfortable with these things if you're doing this alone all the time. It's all about community. Spiritual songs, which are, well, psalms are scriptural lyrics in a song, scripture being sung to a melody. Hymns are humanly inspired songs. So if I write a song right now, that would be considered a hymn. And then spiritual songs are just impromptu words and melodies that may not have any organic meaning prior to that moment, or creation prior to that moment. You just start lifting your heart up, your songs to God, and whatever comes out, comes out. So, and our created purpose begins to unfold as worshipers, as who we are, what we're meant to do, how we're meant to be. Because see, some people think praise and worship is just a thing you do. We forget that it's a thing that lines us up to God's heart in order to be activated to do the other things. Because it's in worship, it's in praise, it's in Him, in those things. His presence enters, His will is revealed for our purpose. So how beautiful it is when you wake up in the morning, when I wake up in the morning, and I start singing His praise, when I start making up spiritual songs, when I get into His word, and then I stop and take time to meditate, to soak in His spirit. See, one of the things God showed me is about swimming. Sometimes we need to soak, which means just meditate on the things of God and His word and listen to Him. Sometimes we need to swim, which means now we're pressing into things. We're commanding. We're declaring. We're praying fervently against something or for something, interceding, because we're swimming forward. And then there are other times we need to just splash and just celebrate and have joy and praise God. And those are the things that God looks for, which leads us to number 7. In Him, we get to praise the Father. Why? Because the revelations of all these things culminate in a spirit that can't help but give praise. When all these other 6 things that we just talked about are revealed and are active in our lives, I get to say, wow, thank you, God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for doing this in my life and around me. Thank you for surrounding me with amazing people who are doing the same thing, or at least are hungry for the same things, and we're running together. Because He's doing this. I get to praise Him. In verse 12, and then in verse 13, we realize that He simply sealed us for this. This is our guarantee. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance? And until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. So in other words, He's doing these things. He set these things into motion. He sealed them to be as they are in our lives, so that we can be everything we are meant to be in Him. To have these things available for us to move in Him as He's called us to move and to do. To not be afraid, but to run into His cloud. To not be fearful, but to step into the things that are in His will. And to move boldly in it and powerfully in it. I mean, it's really that simple. We say all these things to bring understanding to just the fact that He's doing everything. And it's amazing the layers of what He's doing and how deep they go. But in Him, and the more intimate we are, we grow in our understanding of each layer and we go deeper. So right now I want to ask you to stand up with me and just bow your heads. And just get into that position of receiving right now. For those that may not know what that means, it's really a heart position where our hearts are just kind of saying, okay, Lord, I'm ready to hear from you. I'm ready to receive from you. For some of us, we may need to hold our hand out like a kid, just willing and waiting to receive from God. So I encourage you to do that. And just receive what God is doing. Just want to impart these things on you. One of the things that God showed us this morning is it's time to go from the word position was given to us. And in the past, it's meant position yourself to receive. But today, it's going a little deeper. I feel like the Holy Spirit was saying, today, position yourself to pour out, not just receive anymore. That the two are one. I've been training you to receive. Now you got it. Now it's time for you to start pouring out. So Holy Spirit, I just bless each one in this room. And I ask a willing heart, a spirit to just that is willing to submit to you right now, Jesus, to do this, to say, yeah, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do right now. You've been given me, you've been revealing to me, and now it's time to go the next step. So, Father, I ask for an activation right now, a launching of those things. Yeah, that's the word I just got right now, launching. That you are meant to be launched today. So I just release that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.